Our present meditation will be on the Passion of Christ, our greatest inspiration. As we mentioned before, the logic of the spiritual exercises is built first on God's creating us for Himself. But our reaching Him in heaven is a conditional destiny, the condition being that we first know Him, know His will, and then do it, otherwise known as knowing, loving, and serving God. We also heard that everything else, that means everything, every person, place, and thing, every situation, every circumstance, everything that we casually call chance, whether within us or outside of us, is meant to be used as a means, channel of grace, to reach our heavenly destiny. We saw at the beginning there are four categories into which we should classify these creatures. Those God wants us, not merely allows us, wants us to enjoy. Those that He wants us to endure. Those He wants us to remove. And those, most subtly, that He wants us to surrender in sacrifice. Then we saw in what we call the second week of the spiritual exercises what St. Ignatius calls the call of Christ the King, calling all those whom He has created and with whom He has shared the knowledge of Himself by faith to follow Him. The language is to conquer the whole world in what we call the apostolate. The reason we saw is, while God is master of His grace, He uses mainly human beings as a channel for that grace that He wants to give them. The apostolate is being a channel of grace to others. That all our efforts at overcoming sin and cultivating virtue is a means to an end. The end being not only our own salvation, but that we are to cooperate in the salvation of others. Then we spend several meditations reflecting on first the birth of Christ, His life and teaching synthesized in the new law, the new law being summarized in the Beatitudes. By this time in the retreat, you should all be ready to have made what Ignatius calls the retreat election. The logical time is after having reflected on who Christ is, what He expects of me, and what I, at this stage in my life, should first decide with the mind. Then, having decided with the mind, called a conclusion, what I should choose, which Ignatius calls the election. There is no retreat made. Maybe a series of conferences, maybe a seminar. But it's not a retreat, unless facing myself and looking at Christ, I promise Him that I will do but by now I should know what He wants me to do. But I repeat, knowing what I should do is not the same thing as resolving, choosing. An observation here I think is crucial, not only for the retreat, but the rest of our lives on earth. The key to both saving our souls and becoming channels of grace for the salvation of others, the key is using the mind in knowing myself, my weaknesses, my liabilities, but also my abilities, my talents. Knowing that, knowing what God wants of me, not of someone else, but of me. And then deciding, and having decided, to choose. In general, this is the language of the spiritual exercises. In general, the choice that a person making the exercises is to make is on the choice of a state of life, if that is still open to the person making the exercises. The exercises always think in long-range terms. How does God want me to serve Him? In the married state, in the single state, and it's now 42 years that I've been giving the spiritual exercises. Still remember the first time I was preparing for the first 8-day retreat to a community of nuns. So I asked one of my Jesuit confreres, a more experienced man than me, could you give me some ideas? Oh, he says, it's very simple, not easy, but it's simple. Just think of giving the exercises like making a general confession in public. By the time you finish the retreat, they'll know as much, maybe more, about you than you know about yourself. Be open. But of course, what's inside better be edifying. We can only preach ourselves, our own insights, and share that with others. Choosing a state of life. That's what Ignatius did with his first companions, including one of his professors at the University of Paris by the name of Francis Xavier. The last thing that Xavier wanted, the last thing, was to become either a religious or a priest. And his Basque yokel in his late 30s, trying to persuade his professor to change the course of action he was taking. And he kept repeating, Xavier, what worth is it? What good is it to win the whole world and lose your soul? And he just kept bugging him. Finally, Xavier broke down, made the spiritual exercises, then was sent, as we know, to India, never came back. In 10 years, with his own hands, baptized over 100,000 pagans. So the choice of a state of life. Or, secondly, to strengthen one's choice of a state of life. strength with one's mind. Yes, I have made the right choice, and I want it. Remember the way we described the three levels of the operations of the will? First, desire, then choice, and then sustained choice, otherwise known as love. Married people, 10, 15, 20 years in marriage, to strengthen their commitment. And the wife coming back after the exercises, Jim, I made an important retreat resolution. I decided you are the right man in my life. Oh, the vagaries of the human will, how we fluctuate, how we drift. On again, off again. Second, kind of election, as Ignatius would call it. Confirm one's choice of one's state of life. And thirdly, once a person has indeed made a choice of a state of life, and I wish to repeat and confirmed that choice, then, and this is a safe statement for all of us, beginning with the speaker, what needs to be reformed in my state of life? You follow the logic. At the end of the spiritual exercise, there should be no drifters. It must have been 30 years ago. I was asked by a community of sisters, you may have heard them, the Cynical Sisters, specialize in giving retreats. They wrote to me about 2 months before the planned date, would I give a seminar, not a retreat, a seminar for unmarried women? I wrote back and said, thanks. Change that title, otherwise nobody will come. So we called it Seminar for Single Women. Nobody was embarrassed. 40 showed up from all over the country. Women of stature. The editor of the American Medical Association Journal. Personal director for TWA. When I opened the seminar on a Friday evening, I had never done this before, and I told them, spoke for about an hour, on how happy you should be to be single women. And I glorified the joys of the single state. Then it's a seminar, so there was a feedback. A woman in the first row, she got up and made her deposition. Told her friends how happy she was to be a single woman. And turned to me, Father, thank you for so beautifully describing the glories of the single state. She no longer finished and sat down when a woman at the back of the room shouted, "You liar!" And she proceeded to tell the women how unhappy she was. In all my years of lecturing, teaching, giving retreats, it's the only weekend, I mean it literally, I did not sleep 1 minute. They kept me up all Friday night giving counsels. Pick each other up at 2:15 in the morning. Mabel, it's time for your conference. kept me awake with strong black coffee. This is relevant. I found out very few of those 40 women had ever really decided, chosen to be. Am I clear? God wants us to choose, not to drift. For most people, depending on whom the exercises are being made, it is to reform. And the assumption, of course, is there's plenty, pardon the word, to reform, to improve, to change. That's the climax of the second week, now the third week. The third week of the spiritual exercises is on the Passion of Christ. The purpose, of course, is to strengthen our motivation on whatever level of resolution we know we should make. First, then, by way of introduction, if we are to be more faithful to the Christ who is God, brought us out of nothing into this world, if we are to be faithful to the Christ who became man to show us by word and example how we are to live, we need strong, sustained motivation. The strongest motivation is love. And the strongest motive for loving is to know that the one who loves you has suffered out of love for you. The proof of true love is pain. Another name for true love is pain. A perfect, revealed synonym for love is pain. God, we believe, as John tells us, is love. Love became man in order to be able to endure pain. If then I am to love him, then like him, in the measure of the grace that he gives me, I must be willing to suffer if I really love him. By now, how many people, collectively, thousands of people, I've shared what I am sharing this with you. The deepest motivation, therefore, we have, based on our faith, is the passion and death of Jesus Christ. And even as we use the word passion, which is commonplace in our Catholic vocabulary, there are basically two forms of suffering. Suffering from within and suffering that comes from outside of us. The passion is suffering imposed from outside of Christ. Being the sinless Lamb of God, Christ, listen, Christ could not contract a disease. He couldn't become sick or disabled or as a consequence die of some, well, internal weakness or illness that would bring on his death. All sickness, all disease, all illness is the result of sin. Christ never sinned. All the pain that he endured is brought on from the outside by the devil, which is the way he began his public ministry, and by a man inspired by the devil. That's John again. Remember, the devil entered the heart of Judas. And the suffering and pain that we're talking about does, of course, for us include also internal illness, weakness, disability. But it means especially the suffering caused us by other people. And with emphasis, have we been saying, especially by those whom we most dearly love. That's the passion. God then became man for our redemption, that he might suffer and die on the cross and thereby redeem a sinful mankind. But he also became man for our inspiration. He took on our human nature that he might inspire us to love him because, and insofar as we can with the help of his grace, because he loved us and loved him as he has loved us. If you want to prove that you love somebody, pay for it. This I see is the Esperanto of all nations. This language everybody understands. Somebody claims to love me and is willing to pay for his love of me, that person must love. Christ's greatest manifestation of love for us was his passion and death. I would like to cover the two following aspects mainly, and then a third by way of conclusion. The passion of Christ, then our suffering, and the example and inspiration of the mother of Jesus, Mary. First, the passion of Christ. We've been saying this, and now we wish to concentrate our thoughts on the fact God became man in order that. That's the purpose clause in that sentence. God became man in order that he might be able to suffer. God is God, cannot suffer. So he became man in order to suffer, because he knew that it is through suffering that sin is remitted and sinful human beings are restored to the friendship of God. But as we also said, and how important this is, God became man in order to suffer. That's why he became Well, a human being with a body and a soul. Question. Having become man, did Christ have to die? And we go back. A prior question. Did God have to redeem the world? Did God have to redeem the world by becoming man? Absolutely speaking, no. Did God have to become man and suffer and die to redeem the world? No. We have to suffer because we are sinners. Christ, though man, was a sinless man. The choices that God made in becoming man, up to and including his death on Calvary. Oh, how we need this. We who live in the most painless society of human history, who is just assumed that a person, say, undergoing major surgery, even have a name for what they give us to spare us the pain. For 4,000 years in the Orient, surgery was performed, but never with an anesthetic. And during my studies, graduate studies, in the Kimberga Engineering Building at Detroit University, where I now live, one of my fellow students was a missionary from China. When I passed through a village and I heard screaming, I knew an operation must be going on. Let's get hold of ourselves. If there is one definition of the world in which we live, it is a world that avoids pain at all costs. Christ, then, did not have to suffer or die, being the sinless Lamb of God. Who can finish this sentence? Christ, having joy set before him, finish the sentence. Christ, having joy set before him, chose the cross. And he chose it on every conceivable level of choice. Chose to become man. Chose to become a mortal man. Christ, being sinless, did not have to die. We not only will die, we have to die. Christ did not have to die. He chose to be mortal. He chose to be able to suffer. And this is that more. Remember we've been talking about not only choosing to do what we have to do, otherwise we wouldn't even be saved, but choosing what we don't have to do. Doing more. And the practical, down-to-earth sense in which choosing that more is to be understood. We choose what is. We don't go around. See, what's more painful? Sitting down to a meal. I'm hungry. What's more painful? Well, not eating. Choosing the more in the practical order means choosing that which is less pleasant and more painful. Mind you, not because it is painful, but if we want to really, and that adverb is crucial, really want to follow the Master, He will provide. Oh, dear Lord, will you ever provide us with opportunities?